will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you invite us to join with you in making disciples of all the nations. So give us strength, courage, and perseverance to lean into your purposes. Spirit, you're working in the world to exalt the Father and exalt the Son, and you convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And you speak to all people about the brevity of life and the day when each of us will be judged for what we've done in this life. And so help us to hear your voice and heed your warnings and be led by your Spirit and walk according to your Spirit. And don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And I know that your word says that in this world we'll have trouble, but we won't fear because you're with us. And you've overcome the world. So help us to overcome evil with good. And don't let us give in to racism and prejudice or hatred. Help us to love. Help us to love people of every nation. Give us opportunities to love others and be faithful witnesses to you in this upcoming Christmas season. And help us to live in a way that's holy and attractive to those outside the faith. And may your Spirit guide us to say a good word about Jesus when you open doors for the gospel. So, Lord, we pray blessing on each one here today for our students. Give them health and diligence and perseverance, focus, energy, wisdom, and peace through the storm of the last push before exams. For those who need physical healing, we pray that you would touch their bodies. Grant the daily bread of physical health and healing that is ours through the death and resurrection of Jesus on the cross. Lord, for those that are looking for employment, would you remind them of the true source of our wealth, our true provider? Would you enable them to find gainful employment to provide for their needs and the needs of their family and the needs of our church? And Lord, in all things we say to you be the glory in all that we say and do. For yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, and yours is the glory that we live for. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'd like you to open up your bulletins, if you would, at this time. There's a couple of things that I want to highlight. Next week is our annual or semi-annual business meeting. It's going to be at 1 o'clock right after the Cantonese service, and I want to invite all members to attend. We're going to nominated elders, and so it's going to be an election. There's also going to be an opportunity to do a bylaw change and also to hear about the potential build in our church. But I want you to pay close attention to this pretty colorful thing. It's Christmas is coming. Next week is the first Sunday of Advent. And Christmas tickets go on sale today. It'll be in the foyer. Tickets are only $10. You can't get a turkey dinner anywhere for $10. Okay. So thanks to a group of volunteers, we're gonna have a fantastic meal. And so I hope that you'll get tickets for yourself and for a whole bunch of friends, okay? We're going to limit it to 160 people this year. All right. But there is also one other thing. In addition to those tickets, we've got some flyers in the back. There's a movie this Friday night that we're going to have for the youth are actually doing something else at gym night, but God's Not Dead 3, A Light in the Darkness. And if you'd like to invite somebody, we've got a bunch of flyers, just little hand things that you can deliver, invite somebody to come with you on Friday night. It's a great opportunity. And basically, we're going to have some snacks at 7, movie starts at 7:30, and at the end, we'll invite people to come back to our Christmas party. So it's a great opportunity. Hope that young adults, Crossroads, all adults will come if you can and be a part of these opportunities to reach out. So I want to invite the Weber family to the stage at this time. Who's ever going to participate? John, Sam, you guys coming or Shanna? Is it Shanna?
Chana.
It's Chana. Okay.
It's close.
Okay. So John, Sam, Chana, Sandy, and Grant Weber. Okay. So really glad that you guys could come. You were here, I think, a number of years ago, just before you left. Mm-hmm. And so now we get to hopefully hear you some of your story again. Welcome to Southgate Alliance, and I hope we get some pictures working today. I'll give the mics to you guys.
Thank you, Perry. Hey, and we should say thanks to our worship team, too. You guys did a great job leading us in worship. And James, for a blind guy? Over the top, I mean. Do we need to make some mud and apply it and see, you know, as Jesus did? No, I'm just kidding. Well, do you guys want to stand up for a bit, or We'll come up one at a time. How about that? We are the Weber family, and we are thrilled to be here. Actually, Perry, our history goes back even further than just those 4 years. I remember a congregational retreat at Camp Kiwanis in like 2001 or 2000. Yeah, maybe 2001. I remember Mark was there. Tom, were you there? I think there were a lot of people that I recognize that were there. That's a long time ago. We're not getting older. We're just getting, I want to say wiser, but I, you know, maybe that's not true either. Well, my name is Grant Weber, and our family has been living in Bali, Indonesia for the past 3.5 years. And so what we want to do this morning, we want to share a little bit about Bali with you, and then we want to share about the ministry that God has called us to in Bali. So if that's okay, that's what we're going to do. But I have the microphone, so you have no choice, all right? So that's what's going to happen. So what we want to do, introduce each of ourselves as we come up, and the way we'll do that, we'll tell you who we are, our age. Well, the kids will tell you their age. Sandy and I are both 29. And then we'll tell you a funny story about something, either a language story, something that threw us for a bit of a loop, or just a funny thing about Bali. And then we'll tell you what, you know, about the island itself and then the ministry that God has called us to. So I said, I'm Grant, I'm 29. And about a month after we got to Bali, we entered language study. The first month is called homestay. So you're in a village. They don't speak English. You don't speak Indonesian. And you just kind of fumble your way through together. It's really actually very good to get culture shock out of your system that way. And after a month, you go into this village and you start, or you go into the language school and you start learning the language. And Indonesian is not the most difficult language to learn. Jonathan's going to tell us about that in a few minutes. And I started to get confident quickly. I'm like, oh man, I am killing this. And I thought, this is great. I'm learning quickly. And we had hired a person to help us at our house. You kind of are expected to do that. If you don't, it's not okay culturally. And so you hire people to help you in your house. And one of the people that helps us, her name is Ibu Putu. And I needed to buy her a new broom because her broom, like that she sweeps with, was starting to fall apart. It's like bristles of hair and they come apart quickly. There's normal quality and then there's Indonesian quality. So this is an Indonesian quality broom and it was falling apart. And so I had to buy her one. The word for broom is sapu. So I wanted to say to Ibu Putu, I'm going to buy you a new sapu. And so I went to her and I said, Ibu Putu, I'm going to buy you a new sapi. You heard the difference. I didn't. So I keep telling her, I'm going to buy her a sapi. And she says, oh, wow, that's amazing. You're going to buy me a sapi? I said, yeah. What do I need a sapi for? And I said, well, to help clean around the house. Oh, good idea. And then I said, yeah, and it's not going to cost us very much, Ibu Putu. This sapi will only cost us about $1. She said, unheard of. A sapi for $1. What an incredible deal. And I said, it's going to be very helpful for you. It's going to be inexpensive. And she said, is it going to be a large sapi? And I said, well, not really large. I mean, just what you need for around the house. And she said, amazing. Wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Grant. And so I went and got my dollar. And on the way out, I said, we'll see you in a bit. I'll have a new sapi when I get back. And she said, Mr. Grant, sapi is cow. So I'm going to go buy her a cow to help out around the house. Wonderful. Thanks a lot, right? So that's my language story. You have to be able to laugh at yourself when you're learning language. So we want to start right from the beginning with the call that God put on our lives. Then we want to talk to you about Bali itself. Chan is going to come up after that. Sandy's going to talk about the call. Chan is going to talk about Bali. Sam is going to tell us some of the differences between Bali and Calgary. And then Jonathan is going to talk to us about the language very briefly. And then we'll get into ministry. Is that okay? Good, because we have the microphone and that's the plan. Come on up, Sandy.
So I'm Sandy and I'm younger than Grant, so you can figure that out. I also have a funny language learning experience. One of the troubles that I had in learning a new language was putting together the syllables in the correct order. So I would hear them, but then I would say, like for sapu, I might have said pusa. Like I just had trouble with syllable order. So every morning I would get out and go down the street, and there was a little boy named Ilham, and I had trouble. I went out there, and I'm like, good morning, Hamil. And the kids would laugh, and I'm like, oh, it's Ilham. And so this went on for several days, and I would get confused. Is it Ilham or Hamil? And the kids would giggle all the time, this poor little three-year-old boy. And so in language school a few weeks later, I learned the word for pregnant, which is Hamil. So I figured out why the little boys were giggling every time I said, good morning, pregnant, to this poor little three-year-old. So that helped me to put my syllables in the correct order. But I just want to share with you the call that God has on our lives, and remind you of the call that God has on your life, whatever that might be, and listening carefully to what he has for you. Grant and I both knew when we were younger that God was calling us into international work. And we went to seminary together to study intercultural studies and waited for God to show us where and when he was calling us. And At that time, I was thinking, my goodness, I'm going to be an old lady before I get out there. I'm going to be more than 30 before I get on the field. But God called us into ministry, and we just kept listening and waiting for him. And we had a family and went to the churches where he had called us and worked in ministry. And then in 2011, we heard about a place called Bali while we were sitting in the pews in our church. And both of us felt a stirring in our heart to begin to pray for this place. We didn't know where it was or what it looked like, but God was moving in our hearts then already. He gave us an opportunity several months later to go there and minister to the youth and the children of some of the international workers there. And we thought, oh, this is what God was preparing us for. But the stirring was there, and once we were there, we thought, this is where God wants us to be. But we didn't want to go dragging our kids along with us. So we came back and we said to the kids, listen carefully to what God is calling you to. And maybe about a year later, we had an opportunity to go to Mexico on a short-term mission. And we prayed about it, and we thought, how can we do this when we have soccer and we have school and we have all these things going on? And dear God, please give us wisdom. And then you stop and listen, but do you really listen? But that's important. When you ask God for something, about something, make sure you stop and listen to what he's saying. So we were doing that, and we said one night to the kids, what is God saying to you? And John said, God said, quit talking and get moving. And so that was for us to say, okay, God, you do have a call for us. And we went to Mexico, and all four of the kids knew then that that is what God was calling them to, was some kind of international work. So once all six of us knew that this was our call, that this was the team he had prepared to go and do something, we moved ahead with the CMA, and there was a place prepared for us in Bali. And I remember once we got there, I was reading a book by Darlene Rose, who had been a missionary to Indonesia in the 40s with Dr. Jaffrey, and she was reciting a conversation that she had with Dr. Jaffrey, and he was tracing his finger over Indonesia, and he got to Bali, and he said, Bali, firmly held in the grip of the enemy, would it be freed? Would its iron gates fold under the onslaught of faith and prayer? This is our task. Do you hear it? The sound. It's the noise of the marching army of young men and women whom God is preparing for the spiritual battle and occupation of these areas. And that just moved me to think that way back then, Dr. Jaffrey was praying for us, for my kids. And to think, what is God preparing you for? How is he calling you? Who's praying for you? And also, that as the Bali is freed from the onslaught of prayer. So I just want to say thank you to you guys for being part of what God is doing in Bali. And now Channa is going to come and explain to you a little bit about where is Bali and what does it look like?
So my name is Channa. I'm 13 years old. And I have like a funny, not really a story, but a funny cultural thing in Bali. So if I was to go meet someone, I wouldn't say, hi, my name is Channa, I'm 13 years old, like I just did with you guys. I would say, hi, I'm Channa, have you showered yet? Or, hi, I'm Channa, have you eaten yet? So there's like three really weird questions. Have you showered? Have you eaten? And then they also ask, are you a boy or a girl? Sometimes I guess it's not obvious, but I don't know. So Bali is a tropical island. It's really, really beautiful there. It's not like Canada. There's no winter. There's only two seasons, hot season and rainy season, which are both pretty hot. In hot season, it goes from 30 degrees to 32 degrees Celsius. And in rainy season, it goes from 28 to 30 degrees Celsius. So it's really not cold island. It's a province in Indonesia, and its population is 4.2 million, which is a ton of people all in a tiny island, because that's not very much less people than Alberta's population, but you could fit the island of Bali 17 times into Alberta. So there's a lot of people. The main religion in Bali is Hinduism, so kind of like India, but not really the same. It's like Balinese Hinduism. It's kind of different. So there's more than 85% people Hindu in Bali, and less than 2% Christian. So yeah, the other religions of people living on Bali would be Christian, Muslim, Catholic, and Buddhism. So yeah, that's, you kind of know what Bali is like now. And Sam is going to come up with my mom and tell you about the differences of Bali from Canada.
I'm Sam, and I'm 10 years old, and I don't have any funny stories.
But Sam, what do you think about Bali? Is it very much like Calgary?
No, not at all. It's very, very different, especially the size.
And what about the traffic? Is that kind of like driving down Deerfoot?
Not at all. Everyone drives the wrong way and everything.
And what do they mostly drive?
Little teeny mopeds.
And is that like one person or are those family vehicles?
Family vehicles.
How many people have you seen on a scooter?
Up to 5 people.
On one scooter. So they use the scooters just for the whole family. So the traffic is different. Also the things that we see on the road and what they're transporting are a little different. What do you see in the back of some of their trucks?
In some of their trucks you would see like pigs and chickens.
And things that, I mean, we have pigs and chickens, but we don't transport them the same here. I don't think Alberta Health would allow that. But what other things do you see in the back of their trucks?
People, coconuts.
Yes, they transport their schools in the back of their trucks too, and their soccer teams. What about their houses, Sam? Are they kind of the same as Calgary?
No, they're not at all the same. They're probably about the size of this stage or smaller, and they're made out of cement bricks.
And their roofs, do they have shingles on their roofs?
No, they use clay tiles on their roofs.
Cool. And what about the trees in our yard? What kind of trees do we have there? Do they lose their leaves in the fall?
No, they lose their leaves when the trees die, and they don't have evergreens.
No evergreens, but what kind of fruit trees do we have in our own yard?
We have mango trees, star fruit trees, papaya, coconut.
Did you ever plant a tree?
Yeah, I actually planted a papaya tree once. It took about a year to bear fruit.
Yeah, so it took about a year to grow, I don't know, 20 feet tall and bear fruit. So a little different than the growing seasons here. And Sam, what happens at 5:30 every evening in our village?
Every evening at 5:30, everyone goes down to the ocean to hang out and have supper together.
What do they have for supper? McDonald's?
Ice cream.
Ice cream. And bakso?
Yeah.
What's bakso?
Meatballs.
Meatballs. That somebody has prepared on the back of their scooter. And Sam, does everybody go to church on Sundays in Bali?
No. The main religion is Hinduism, so they worship and make offerings every day.
Thank you, Sam.
Yeah.
So, like Sam said, the main religion is Hinduism there. So I'm just going to give you a very brief look at what Hinduism is. It's different than what you see. It came from India, but it's different. It's been morphed to fit the Balinese people. And actually, if you go from one village to another, you will see different beliefs in their own religion. But Bali is known as a land of 10,000 temples. They have temples in their yards, temples in the for their family, temples for their extended family, temples for their village, temples for their regency, temples for their city. So, and they have to do offerings at all of these temples. So if you go to, I found Bali to look quite a lot like I might imagine the Old Testament to look. There's lots of ceremonies, lots of dressing up for the ceremonies and preparing offerings for the evil spirits on the ground and offerings for the good spirits up high, inviting their ancestors' spirits to come into their homes for special occasions, taking their babies to the priest to see whose ancestral spirit has entered that baby because they believe in reincarnation, and every time your spirit comes back, you try a little bit harder to be more perfect so that you can reach nirvana. So we really long for them to know that we can't be perfect, but Jesus has already paid that and done that for us. But these people are, at this point, still trapped in the bondage of ceremonies and offerings and all the time and the money that that takes from them, because every part of their life is spiritual. There isn't a difference between Sunday and, like, there are no such thing as Sunday Christians there or Sunday Balinese. Every part of life, the way you set up your house, the way you talk about directions, and even the way you dress is very spiritual. So Channa and John are actually going to model for us what the traditional Hindu dress looks like. And they wear this for every ceremony, every special occasion. And in fact, the government has now said every Thursday, anybody that works in the government, all the kids that go to school, need to dress in their spiritual, or in their traditional attire, which is spiritual, because they believe that the body has different centers of energy. And so the clothing is actually a harness for each of these different centers of energy. And so the center of energy for stability and shelter is the hips and grounding you. So both the men and the women wear a sarong. The women wrap it one way and the men wrap it another way. And so they want to harness this. Now, the center of energy for loving and sharing and caring is the heart. And that you don't want to harness. You want love and caring to be free-flowing. So traditionally, the women and the men didn't wear tops. Now the men just wear a regular shirt, and the women wear a traditional Indonesian kebaya. And the center of energy for wisdom and knowledge is the throat. And again, that's something that you don't want to harness. You want that to be free-flowing. The center of energy for connecting with the spirit world is the third eye. And so the men wear an udang, and the women on special occasions will wear a little white headband. And the most important part, the center of energy for immortality and power and authority, is the belly button. And so this must be harnessed with the belt. Anytime anybody is giving an offering of any kind to the evil spirits or to the good gods or going to any kind of ceremony, it doesn't matter necessarily if you have the traditional dress on, but you must have the belt on. So you will see men who are farming, stop farming in their shorts and stuff, quickly wrap a belt around them, and then give their offerings. So this is traditional dress in Bali by Channa and John. And now John is going to share some of the language with us.
Yeah. I'm John. I'm 15. And I have a funny story. It's actually a language story. So about the same time as my dad had his funny language story, we needed to get some water for our house because you can't drink the water out of the taps. So you get this big water jug and you drink out of that. So I was going to the store, and as I'm going to the store, I'm thinking, you know, I bet you I'm so smart with the language in 2 weeks, I could probably do this all in Indonesian. I was wrong, but I decided to just ask for, using the words I knew, I decided I could probably figure it out. So I was thinking, okay, what's the word for a jug? And I was like, oh, I don't know the word. So I'll just say big water. That'll make sense. So I get to the store, and I'm like, excuse me, I'm looking for big water, which is air besar. And she just looked at me kind of funny. And then I asked again, and she started laughing. And I'm like, is it because I'm white and I'm speaking Indonesian terribly? And so anyways, I found the water and I went home. And the next day I'm telling my language teacher about this. And she says, well, yeah, John, that's because air besar, one word, actually means poo. I didn't know that. But so that's what learning the language is like for me. Now I'm going to teach you guys how to say some words in Indonesian. I'm going to teach you how to say good morning and good night. And then a churchy word, because we're in church. So good morning is selamat pagi. Can everybody say selamat pagi? Yeah. So right now you could say selamat pagi. And then in the nighttime, you would say selamat malam. Yeah. So selamat pagi is good morning. And selamat malam is good night. Good job. Okay, and now for the churchy word. So the churchy word is praise God. It's one of my favorite words because praise is puji, and that sounds cool, and God is Tuhan. So praise God is puji Tuhan. Can you guys say that? Thanks.
Oh, that's great. So now you can say, good morning, praise God. James, even you could do that without glasses. Yeah. So that's kind of a picture of Bali, a little bit about what it's like to be there. Now we want to jump into what God has called us to for ministry. We went really empty-handed. We did not feel like experts. We felt like we didn't know anything. And we got there empty-handed and said, Lord, what would you call us to do? And so what he called us to is community development strategies to reach the people. Community development being different than relief. Relief being, here's water, you need water. Here's clothes, you need clothes. But development being a step up, not a handout. So our goal is to give people a step up through skill, through training, through knowledge, information, any of these things so that their life is better tomorrow than it was today. And that gives us access to communities. So we call it community development. How would the Lord use skill development or training to open the door into a community so that we have relationship which allows us to share the gospel? So there's three primary things that we're going to show you or talk to you about this morning. The first is a soccer program that works as community development. The second is a prison ministry that is a form of community development. And the third are English clubs that are also a form of community development. So Chana's going to come and talk to us about FC Bali, then John about the prison ministry, and then Sandy about English clubs.
So FC Bali is a soccer club we started just after we got to Bali. The soccer field is kind of nice. It's right beside the black sand beach, so usually after soccer practice, we all go and jump in the water and hang out for a bit, which is really fun. We practice three times a week on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Fridays. And before each practice, we pray with the kids, and then we do some skill training and sometimes play a quick game together. And then after the practice, when we're in like our cooling down little circle, we have a character talk. So we use our characters from the fruit of the Spirit. So it's really cool to see how after a couple weeks or even a couple months of the kids practicing with us, their character has changed so much. Like we had one kid named Bayou. The first couple days he was with us, he was like known as the bad kid in school. He just liked to do bad things and hang out with bad people. But now he's like one of the nicest kids on the soccer team. It's really amazing to see how they can change that much. Not just their character, though, even their faith. We have one kid named Popo. Just before we left, he decided he was going to follow Jesus. And his whole family is changing now. Like, his sister just comes, not even on practice days, just to hang out with me and talk. And they just love to be in God's presence, which is really cool. Even his dad comes to cut our grass just because he likes to be there. So it's really cool to watch people change through soccer.
The prison ministry is one of my favorite things we do. We go there two times a month, and the drive there is really pretty. We drive through the bamboo forest, and then you come out, and it's the prison, which isn't so pretty. But we go there, and they let us in because we do a soccer program, and then my mom teaches English. So we've been doing that for about a year, and then we got trust with the guy started trusting us enough that we decided to ask them if we could do a two-day seminar. And the two-day seminar was called The Purpose of Life. So that was two full days that we got to talk to them about the purpose of life, which is open the doors a lot to start conversations about God and the hope in Jesus. So that's really cool. Another cool thing that happened is some of the guys in prison told us that they like playing soccer or playing music. So we got them some instruments, and they started writing songs about not doing drugs and living better lives. And the guards noticed this, and the head of the prison noticed this, and so they decided to let these guys go out on the weekends, leave the prison, and go to restaurants in the more touristy areas and sing about not doing drugs and living better lives. That's really cool, and it's also really cool because their families come, so we get to talk to their families and tell them about Jesus as well. So that's a really cool thing that's happened. Another cool thing that happened 2 weeks ago, after we got back, We heard about this from the people that we partner with. We partner with a group called YWAM. Do you guys know what YWAM is? It's like a missions group. So this YWAM group, they asked if the prison wanted to take the music band and the futsal team and the guards, and they invited them across the island to come have like a barbecue supper at the missions base. And they said yes. So 3 years ago, we didn't know anybody in the prison, and now they trust us enough to let their prisoners out and come have a barbecue at a missions base. That's awesome. So just over the past 3 years, we've seen so many people come to Jesus. We've seen about 8 people. And I love that. And 2 people that just got out, they contacted us and they said they want to do their YWAM DTS. A YWAM DTS is like 6 months learning how to tell others about Jesus. So God used us to bring these guys to Jesus, and now he's going to use them to bring even more people to Jesus. That's awesome, and that's why I love the prison ministry.
So a large part of our ministry is living in the community amongst the people. And so to have value with them, one of the things that we do is offer English classes. On the island of Bali, there is a lot of tourism. So it's parents think that if they can have their kids learn English, they will be able to have a job in tourism, which will earn them more money than farming. So for us to offer English gives us value in the community and gives us opportunity to speak into the lives of the kids several times a week during the class, but also get to know the parents and the grandparents around as they bring their kids or as we meet them down at the water in the evenings. And it gives us opportunity to have Christmas and Easter parties, to invite them all to come and to there really show and talk about why Jesus came, how he was born of the Virgin Mary, and because he loves us, he died for us. So teaching English is what I love to do, but what I really love is having the opportunity to speak into the lives of the kids, of the prisoners, of the people in our village as we teach them English.
Yeah, you can clap for Sandy. I clap for Sandy all the time. Well, that's kind of a picture of Bali. That's a picture of the ministry God has called us to. But what I want to show you this morning is that if God can work through a family like ours, he can work through a family like yours, your church family, and your individual family. We went there with nothing in our hands, really empty, not knowing at all what the Lord was calling us to. We hoped that in the first 3.5 years that God would show us the language, give us the language, and give us the culture, help us to understand the culture. And here we are telling you stories about ministry he's called us to. That was none of our doing. That was all the Lord working through us, very ordinary people. And God can work through you. So what's he calling you to today? Psalm 2 verse 8 says, ask of me, this is the Lord speaking to us as his people. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. The ends of the earth is your possession. He's not talking about wealth and power that you would gain for yourself personally. He's telling you that because of Jesus, the nations can be your inheritance. And all you have to do is ask. And the ends of the earth, your possession. Ask of him, and he will give those to you. So what does that look like for Southgate Alliance? Globally. Evangelism globally. Taking Christ where nobody has ever heard of him. Well, all I know is that every one of us is called to one of 3 things, and some of us are called to 2 of them. We're either called to pray, to give, or to go. And what is the Lord calling you to this morning? Is he calling you to pray more for people like us or others who are going or have gone? That you would pray that the Lord would raise up more workers to go to the ends of the earth. To give, it's so easy to give at the CMA, in our alliance churches here in Canada. You just write on your offering envelope, missions, and it goes to the right place. Would you give? Would you go? There are 1 billion people on this planet, there's more than that, who don't know Jesus, who have never heard of Jesus. There are 31 primary frontier unreached people groups. If we reach those 31 groups, we reach 50% of the world's unreached people. Let me say that again. There are 31 primary frontier unreached people groups. That means they have no gospel presence. If we reach those 31 groups, we reach half of the world's unreached people. Do you think if we reach half of the world's unreached people with the gospel of Christ that things will change? Everything will change. Are there 31 people here this morning that would commit to being a part of that vision? to pray for those groups, to give towards workers going into those nations and those people groups, or for you yourself to go and to reach them with the gospel of Christ. Let me pray for us that God would work in our hearts to do exactly that, and then Perry's going to close us. So, Father, we're grateful for your work, that you accomplish extraordinary things through very ordinary people. We don't understand why you do it that way, but we are grateful that you choose us. And so, Father, we choose this morning to follow you in that. Would you encourage our hearts? Holy Spirit, would you motivate us to be part of your global mission, taking Christ to the ends of the earth? In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
Well, thank you so much. Why don't everybody in the family come up here, and we'll just pray for you guys before you go. Mark, do you want to come up here? Corliss, just because you're a mission elder, you see, you should be mission deacon and mission elder. Hey, we really appreciate that you guys came, and it's so neat to see a whole family together. I know that you're pretty excited about Alex coming back soon, right? So that's awesome. If you want to ask them some more questions, they're going to be in the back. They've set up a table right there in the foyer, and so I encourage you to do that. Can I invite you to stand? Why don't you guys just come and lay hands on these guys? Lord Jesus, we want to bless the Weber family. We thank you in Jesus' name for their work, for the report, the good news of the gospel. And I believe that the gospel is the power of God for salvation for all who believe. It changes lives. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would continue to bless and continue to share the good news through them, that the light would just burn brightly. I had that image today of just the increase of the fire of God in each of them. And, Lord, I see it. I see it, and I thank you for it. And I pray that you would just increase more and more. So, Lord, we pray your blessing on them. Pray that they'd get their visa, that they'd be able to go back soon. I pray that you would just continue to keep them close to Jesus, that you would keep them safe in all of their travels and make them dangerous for the sake of the gospel. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, God bless you guys. We'll see you next week. We're starting at the first week of Advent, and I hope you'll come every week in December. Why don't you just greet those around you and welcome them, and don't forget to grab an invitation to the movie night this Friday, or